Hello, everyone. This is Allie.
And this is Tiara.
And this is the Goddess Vibration. Welcome back. I hope some of you got to tap into the Lionsgate portal. The energy has been super intense and I've been feeling pretty bogged down, but that doesn't stop me from recording.
The energies have been really intense and I have been sitting with them doing Reiki. So I am actually a level 2 certified Reiki practitioner. And I decided to sit with the energies to see if it can, like, you know, enhance the Reiki energy a little bit. And it really did. And I felt it so strongly and it was so impactful. And I know that there are others who have felt that intense energy as well. So as of this recording, there's one more day. Is it one more day?
Yes.
Okay. That the Lionsgate energies will be coming through. My understanding is that it peaked on August 8th, and then it kind of like tapers down gradually until the 11th. So.
Correct. And what actually made this year even more special, you guys, was 2024 is also 8. So it's 8-8-8, which made the energy even more intense and crazy.
So the 8, my understanding, is like tied to, what is the 8 tied to? Is it karma?
Well, the 8 is, first of all, the 8 is an infinity sign.
Right.
And then the 8 also represents money. It's money and it's also karma.
So it's like a dual punch.
Correct. With the infinity.
Right. So I briefly looked into what infinity means, because when I began my spiritual journey, I was seeing that a lot. And it does have some significance. Like, you know, obviously when it comes to the numerology, it represents very specific things, as Ali mentioned. But it's also a symbol that reflects like timelessness or limitlessness, or, you know, something that's not measurable, that which is immeasurable. And in essence, it's reflective of this concept of absolute, which has the energy to support our personal spiritual journey on all levels. So it's a very supportive energy, and, you know, the significance of it, especially this year, is that those energies are really meant to lift us up to the next level when it comes to our evolution, at least energetically. So, you know, I'm hoping that a lot of people were able to take advantage of some of that energy, even if you didn't like initially tap into it or meditate with it. I'm sure it impacted you in some way, even at like the smallest, simplest level. You know, in the past, when I have experienced some of the 8-8 portal energy, like I would always get like this enhanced intuition, enhanced awareness a little bit. Like I would sort of feel things more deeply. And I always made note of that. Like every year when it happened, I would make note of that. So, you know, it's interesting how these energies can impact us in different ways.
And the opposite can happen as well for people like me, where the energy was just so intense that you just feel exhausted. That can happen. So it's not all just about enlightenment. It's also you feel really bogged down and you feel really tired. And I know that there's been a lot of light codes and a lot of DNA activation going on, and the energy has just been so wild that people have been like, oh, I feel like I'm walking on clouds. And then I'm just like, really? I feel like I can't even stand. That's just how heavy I feel. So the 8-8 portal also, like, it's the time to The 8-8 portal is the time to discard like what no longer serves you. Right. So it could also be, you know, karma will come up and things that no longer serve you. It's a great time to remove some of that energy from your body so you can welcome in new things, new energy, new abundance, manifestation. So that's what makes Lion's Gate really, really special.
You know, it's interesting that we're talking about eights because in tarot, and this is the power of numerology. Numerology is just so fascinating. In tarot, the Eight of Cups is the exact same energy. It is discarding things that no longer serve you.
I love that.
Isn't that wild?
That's just numerology working at the at its best. Numerology is so cool. Tiara and I are still looking for a numerologist guest because numerology could really just on like numerology can map out your whole life. If you know how to utilize numerology, it's just like you can use the energies and the numbers and the power of the universe and the power within yourself, and you can just create your dream life. It is a real thing. People have done it. You have to have a very good understanding and grasp of all these things to make it work for you, but anyone can do it. Not going to say it's easy, but anyone can do it.
You know, I'm convinced, and I think we have talked about this briefly in the past, about how like numerology and numbers and mathematics are like the underpinnings of how everything works in the universe. And because of that, I think if people are able to harness that, you know, like you were saying, Ellie, with numerology or even just going and getting that mapped out with someone, I think it could change your life like in incredible ways. And like almost to the point of giving you a bit of an advantage when it comes to the trajectory of your life. And I know we've talked in the past about how like some of the elites use numerology very, very, very heavily. And I think that in many ways, it's given them this advantage because they have utilized this information and this knowledge that has been stripped from humanity in so many ways to their benefits. And it's just interesting how we've seen that play out, you know, especially hearing how some of these elites have been using numbers and numerology and these numerology specialists to take advantage and map out their businesses and, you know, launch these mega corporations
and investments.
And investments too. Like, it's just crazy. It's so crazy to me.
So it's worth looking into, you guys. I'm telling you. So I hope all of you got the opportunity to tap into the Lionsgate portal, to tap into this energy. And we started off talking about this because today we are going to be discussing what it actually means to have a spiritual awakening. I've noticed that as more people awaken and this space is becoming very saturated with opinions, some are popular opinions, some are unpopular opinions, and I've seen comments where people have actually expressed and said, there's so much information out there. And it's like, I try these things, but it doesn't work for me. Like, who's telling the truth? Where do I go to get this information? How can I actually help myself? And so Tiara and I want to kind of discuss spiritual awakenings. And really, my number one answer is you have to find that information that you're seeking within yourself. Now, you can use outside information to get ideas, to point you in a direction, but you don't know if it's really going to work for you until you start doing the work yourself and you start to go inward and find what works for you. And I think a lot of people get lost in that because they hear these people talk about these very profound experiences and they're like, oh, I want that. And then, you know, they'll either reach out to that person looking for advice, but sometimes it doesn't pan out for you. And that's because spirituality is the journey of the self, yourself. And of course, we're going to need support. We're going to need to find help. And so I understand like looking for those outside resources, but you have to apply that within yourself to really know if it's going to work for you.
I want to step back a little bit and share what we mean when we say a spiritual awakening, because I feel like, especially in the New Age community, that there seems to be a little bit of a misunderstanding. So when we say spiritual awakening, we're talking about that shift, like that can often happen at the mental or emotional level, where you develop this higher sense of awareness, or like this expanded awareness. And oftentimes it comes with questioning. So you're questioning your existence. You're questioning how you've been living your life. You're questioning societal dynamics and how they've affected you. And you're questioning what's the truth, what's not the truth. You're looking for more meaning to your life and to your existence. So personally for me, when I had my awakening, like that's exactly how it manifested. Like I went through this shift and it was really, really rapid for me. I went through this shift where like my entire perspective and sense of awareness just changed completely. It's almost like you're waking up from a sleeping state. You know, like I actually don't know if we talked too much about this on this pod, on our podcast, but a lot of people sort of go through life in this zombie state without necessarily having any awareness or sense of awareness. And that is a lot of people. I think I was just like, you know, briefly looking into this a little bit, and something like 85 to 90% of people have no awareness and no self-awareness. So when you get to that phase of awakening, that starts to expand and open up, and you start to see more things that you didn't see. My experience was actually triggered by my twin soul, because we had gone through a massive separation. Like we didn't speak for like 11 years. And then we reconnected on Facebook. And, you know, it was kind of funny because I posted like something about this show I watch on Cartoon Network. I like cartoons. You know, I'm an adult that likes cartoons, and I especially like adult cartoons. But one of the ones I do really like is, I haven't watched it in a while, but it's one that they still actually show called, it's called The Amazing World of Gumball, which chronicles these, it's a family, but there's like these two characters. I think one's a cat, one's a bunny. They're in, I think they're in middle school or elementary school, and they just do these crazy, insane things. So I had posted something like, hey, you know, I love this show, and it's like the best show on Cartoon Network. Like, debate me. If you don't agree, debate me. And then my twin posted on there and he was like, I agree. And then, you know, we kind of just went on for a couple sentences, a couple comments in our thread on Facebook. And then we reconnected. That night is when I shifted and had the awakening. Crazy thing is, like, two nights before he and I reconnected, I had this dream about him. And it wasn't like a regular dream. It was like one of those very vivid, like details everywhere. Like you can see like every single detail and every thing that's there. And we were in a desert and like, oh my gosh, we were in a desert. He was in a car. He was driving me. I don't know why he was driving me, because the guy's literally like legally blind. But he was driving and I was the passenger, and we were going somewhere, and in this car, in this desert. And like, I remember seeing him so vividly. And like, there was just, it was so clear. And I was just like, wow, you know, I haven't dreamt about you in like months and months. This is so interesting. 2 days later, we connect. The next day, I had this profound shift in awareness. So, you know, I've heard stories about people talking about how their twin flame sort of triggered their awakening. And I guess for the most part, it was very similar. But it was just, it was very intense experience over like a period of a couple of days for me.
And how did that impact you? In what ways?
You know, it's interesting because I was working full time. I was working in government at the time. Before that point, I was doing a little bit of dabbling in spirituality. Like, I knew I had spirit guides. I knew that I could hear them. I had like this sense of seeking information, seeking truth. I knew that there wasn't, that there was more to our existence than what we were being told. I felt like this sense of needing to get to the truth. Like, what is the truth? What is the truth of our existence? Something's not right. Something's off. Something doesn't feel right. And then after the awakening, I kind of had more of a blueprint as far as how to go about navigating some of those things. And for the most part, it was a lot of seeking and a lot of seeking like more knowledge and information and trying to make sense of our reality. And I will say in those initial stages, like, I don't think I put enough focus on like how much of an inner process that is, because I didn't know, you know, I didn't really have like a spiritual coach or anyone to like, you know, walk me through the awakening process. And in hindsight, I do wish I would have had something like that. I think I could have saved a lot of time, but for the most part, it was a very solo journey. And I just kind of did a lot of my own research. I started reading books. Like, I just tried to start finding a way to make sense of my reality and also what I was experiencing and how I can take advantage of it and make it work for my life in some way. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm actually very happy that you talked about how lonely it was. I don't think enough people are honest about how lonely the spiritual journey really is. And I know something that Tiara and I have always strived for in this podcast is really to be honest and authentic with our listeners. And what we talk about may not apply to everyone. So take what we say with a grain of salt if it doesn't apply to you. But for most, and what I see, and what, like, when people go into that vulnerable space and they open up, a lot of people talk about how lonely the journey is. And even, it's not just the spiritual awakening part, it's the journey. It's the journeying in, because when you journey in and once you start doing introspection and once you start going into those shadows and once you start digging up some trauma, it's dark, it's scary. You are just like, you feel alone because you're just like, oh, your reality is changing, right? Like, you see people differently. You may not, like, your relationships may change, your relationships may shift because you are shifting. And when you are shifting, of course, your outside world is going to shift. And I feel when people start to notice the shifts, that's when people are just like, wait, I don't want to, like, there might be aspects of your old life that you like and you want to hold on to and you don't want those relationships to change. And I feel like at that point, that's when people really get stuck in the spiritual awakening. They're just like, oh, wait, like, I don't want to lose my friends. I don't want to stop talking to these people who I've known my whole life. And so people just kind of stop the process. And then that's how, in my personal opinion, I feel like that's where a lot of people just get stuck in the spiritual journey, in the spiritual awakening. As things start to open, as you start to go inward, as the world starts changing around you, it will happen. And we obviously can't tell you that you should be doing something or shouldn't be doing something. That's not our place. But I want to be very honest about what this journey is.
You know, in regards to the loneliness part of it, when you start to have those shifts, you start to see how things in your life don't quite align with the shifts that you're making and the direction and trajectory that you're being pulled to go. And, you know, for me, I was in a marriage and he wasn't on the same journey as I. And it was very, very hard for me to make sense of that and to reconcile that in my mind, because I didn't want to let that go. But at the same time, I felt this pull to do something deeper and explore a different area and aspect of my life, even if it meant doing so without him. But it was so hard for me to reconcile that, that I did stay stuck and stagnant for a very, very long time. And I know that this is quite common when it comes to people who are on these shifts of awareness, but are in these relationships or they're in these connections. It is so, so hard to navigate that, especially when you love this other person. And this other person has been a part of your life for so, so long. You struggle with making sense of the shifts that you're making, because deep within yourself, you know that this person can't go with you. So, you know, that's very difficult to navigate. And I did struggle a very, very long time, you know, and I'm fortunate that I did have guidance, not only from Allie, but from, you know, spirit guides, to look at that from a broader perspective and see that if it comes to needing to shift away from those people you deeply care about, it's for your best and highest. It's because it's the best thing for you. And in many cases, also the best thing for them. It's just when you're in this process, it's hard to see that because you become so emotional and you become so fearful of letting go of the things that brought you comfort. But we have said this so, so many times, that comfort is the enemy of progress. Is that what it is?
Yeah, comfort is the enemy of progress. Yeah.
Yes. And that rings true. I mean, you could probably apply that to just about any aspect of your life. Like, that rings true. And it especially rings true when it comes to navigating through a spiritual awakening.
That's why I love that quote, you guys, because it's so simple. But if you actually think about the meaning of those words, that's when you're just like, you have that epiphany and you're just like, holy shit.
Yes. Now, it was interesting because at some point, like, I had realized a couple things. I realized I had a divine connection to another man that was not my husband. I realized I don't know how I knew this, but like, I don't know if it was like my higher self or what it was, but I knew that I was experiencing a spiritual awakening. Like, I knew that I had received that download and I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense, you know? I knew that I needed to make a lot of shifts. I didn't know what they were or how to go about it. So I did seek out support and help from a couple people. I think one of the first people I reached out to was like a Akashic Records reader, which actually is not a bad idea if you're just starting the spiritual awakening journey, to find someone who can read your Akashic Records. She was also like a twin flame coach, and she also did like other forms of coaching. And I did a little bit of it, but I personally don't think I got as much from that as I would have wanted, but it did at least point me in a direction as far as like knowing some of the things in my Akashic and in my past lives that are impacting me. And, you know, she gave me some information about my marriage and like talked a little bit about the past lives I had had with him and some of the karma that was there. So it was really interesting. And it sort of kind of set the stage for some of the other things I ended up doing. But like, I would advise if you are, you know, starting your spiritual awakening journey to see if you can't find some type of guidance or support. I did start with books just because it was the easiest, most affordable thing. And I know a lot of people like to read. I don't know what it is about this book. I'm going to be honest. I have not personally read this book, but a lot of people swear by it that like, if you're in those initial phases of an awakening, that it's really, really helpful. It's called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. I read a different book. I read something called I believe it's called The Soul Empowerment by Judith Cusell, which is also very impactful. But I would recommend starting with a book if you're a reader. If not, maybe seek out someone who can at least get you a little bit of information in regards to like finding out about your karma or your past lives or delving into your Akashic records. So at least you can kind of get a sense of some of the things that you should be focusing on while navigating your journey.
You mentioned symptoms or signs. Do you remember what any of those are?
Symptoms of awakening?
Symptoms or signs? Like, how did you know that you were actually having a spiritual awakening? Was it just the download that you had received? Are there any warning signs? Are there any?
You know, as I reflect on it, I do think that this process started a long time ago with me. For me, one of the biggest symptoms was like this desire to seek, like to learn more about myself and our existence and the truth behind it and know more about like, and again, this is how it was for me, know more about whether we're being told the truth, whether the societal structure we have is authentic, like just that level of depth when it came to seeking truth and wisdom and, you know, information. And I did also for a long time have like this need to become better or to expand or like improve upon myself. And I read a couple self-help books. One of which was actually, I know this sounds kind of crazy, but it actually helped a lot. It was a dating book. And it's called The Tao of Dating for Women. And I remember reading this book and having a lot of profound shifts. And it wasn't just about dating. It was about how you relate to society as a woman and how you can do so in a healthy manner. How you can explore the things about yourself that you might be attracting when it comes to other people and dating experiences. And it was very applicable to other aspects of my life. So I would say like, you know, the two initial symptoms would probably be wanting to get more information, wanting to expand, learn more about yourself, find a better way to relate to society and others, be a better person. You also might start to experience metaphysical things. I can't tell that this is something that everyone experiences, but I did have a lot of metaphysical experiences, like enhanced intuition, more downloads. I talked about the dream that I had. That was just like one of them. I started being able to channel and hear things more clearly and sense things. So you might start to experience some of those metaphysical things. And again, for me, that was something that kind of started gradually over a period of years. And then it peaked when I had the awakening after reconnecting to my twin soul. You know, I didn't have a lot of physical symptoms. I know some people have talked about like the physical stuff. Maybe I did, and I just didn't realize that. Like, at the time, I was a busy bee, and I was, like, you know, in and out of the gym, and I was just so physically active. Like, I probably, even if I did have some physical symptoms, didn't particularly notice. But most of it for me was, like, mental, emotional, like, those type of symptoms.
I think it can show up in many different forms, whether that's emotional, physical,
spiritually.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think it affects in many different forms. For me personally, something that I want to make clear about a spiritual awakening, we can have more than one. We can have multiple throughout our lifetime. And I feel like the public makes it sound like, oh, you have this one very profound spiritual awakening and that's it. And I'm just like, that's not true. Because as we evolve and as we raise our levels of consciousness, as we evolve, as we shift, of course we're going to have more than one awakening. And I think it happens in many different stages that people don't really realize. Like, I didn't know at the time, but I had many spiritual awakenings as a child and throughout my young adulthood. And then it was really when I started traveling and I got out of corporate America that I really could see the world for what it truly was. And so there's different experiences throughout my life that has really helped shift and make me want to seek truth and start to see things differently. And I started making those shifts, but I've made them throughout my entire life, which is why I'm telling you, you can have multiple. And it's going to be different for different people. Like, I know for me, I didn't really grow up in an environment where my parents wanted me to be a slave in the system. My parents like said, there are other ways to live in life. There's other ways to be self-sufficient. There's other ways to create. And my mother would always talk to me about like the laws of manifestation and the laws of attraction. And although I didn't really know what any of that meant, I still remember those conversations to this day. And when I started becoming more spiritually aware, I was like, that's what she meant. Those are what those conversations meant. I had no idea what the hell they meant when I was in my teens and she's trying to talk to me about this stuff. I had no idea. But now, because I still remember those conversations, I can apply them when I was really going through my spiritual awakening. And I was just like, wow, like we really are creators of our own world. Like we can create whatever we want. We can manifest. We can manifest people who are like-minded. We can make decisions that no longer serve us. And it's just really wild, like our true potential that we have that just sits inside of us if you're willing to go inward and do the work. And I feel that people don't talk enough about this story. They don't talk enough about the power that we all have inside of us. And I'm not going to sugarcoat, it's not going to be easy, but the power is real. And I know it sounds like, oh, that's easier said than done. Everyone talks about the power being real. It's because what people struggle with is doing the work, because the work isn't easy. And people don't want to make those shifts and people don't want to make those changes and people don't want to, you know, give up people who, you know, they may really love. But it's about having the self-awareness and recognizing what no longer serves you. The spiritual awakening is about peeling your own onion from yourself and discovering new layers of yourself until you can get to the core of your power.
I'm so glad you said that, because there is literally like little to no information out there about how to navigate a spiritual awakening or what it really means, or like at its core, what you should truly be working on. And, you know, I tried to find some of this information, and it was just like, there was so much out there and there were so many different perspectives and opinions, and there wasn't really any information about it that like clicked and that was like, oh yeah, this is how I go about this. This is what this is about. I just kind of had to navigate it in the way that worked best for me. And again, at the time, I was also very heavily stuck in the matrix in other ways. Like, I had this full-time job and, you know, paying my bills and doing the rat race and, like, you know, dealing with debt and all that stuff. And so, you know, it was in essence, I was like juggling two worlds. And, you know, I think a lot of people who go into these awakenings, they feel that way, and that they're kind of like juggling two lives. You know, they're juggling this spiritual, profound spiritual experience that they're having. And then they're also trying to navigate, you know, these things that are so heavily tied into the matrix. And to do that for a really long time it's a lot. It's so much, and it can weigh you down over time. So, you know, when you're feeling like you're navigating that path, and I did it for so long, it's easy to, you know, feel exhausted. It's easy to burn out. It's easy to get caught in these repeating cycles, especially if you're paralyzed by fear. And so, you know, I wish that there was more out there to help people sort of really understand how to navigate this journey. And that's why we're doing this podcast too, in this particular episode, is because I feel like we need to sort of help fill a gap when it comes to the spiritual awakening process and how to properly shift through it, you know. And it's not going to be easy, and it hasn't been easy, but it's possible and it's doable and it's feasible, as long as you're committed to wanting something better for yourself and committed to becoming your true self and finding out who that person is. So I'm hoping that in sharing some of my experience, it will kind of help some others who are in a similar phase really choose which path they want to take. Because, you know, it can get scary, especially if you don't know how to navigate this. That's why I mentioned earlier trying to find some support, or a coach, or a guide, or someone who can at least give you a little bit of sense of where to go next, because it will make a difference. It's not something we can do alone, you know. It is a lonely journey, but it doesn't have to be done alone.
Tiara's absolutely right. It does not have to be alone, but many people choose that route. And I think a lot of people choose that route because they feel like they don't want to be alienated, they don't want to be judged. And Tiara and I both went through that. And unfortunately, we live in a world where people will judge you if you're into spirituality because they just don't understand it. And people fear what they do not understand. People fear the unknown. And unfortunately, we live in a society today where people can be very cruel and judgmental, and it silences a lot of people. And it's such a shame that that even happens, which is why TR and I, A, started this podcast, and B, why we have opened a online community, because we have been there and we know what it's like to feel alienated, to be judged by people who are close to us, who we care about, who we thought cared about us. And that's the thing about unconditional love, is that unconditional love doesn't come from a place of judgment. It doesn't come from a place of thinking differently. It just is. Right? Like, we should accept people for who they are. It's like, I don't judge you for, you know, wanting to stay the way that you are and never change, I will always be there and encourage you if you are ready to make those shifts. But if you're not, I just leave it alone. I just walk away. And that's okay. It's like everyone should just be allowed to be who they want to be. And it's just, I don't know what's going on in society, but it's scary and it can be lonely. And that's why, again, we opened the community.
I want to speak a minute to, like, the whole concern about being looked at as cuckoo and crazy when it comes to the spiritual awakening, because I carried that fear for a really long time, to the point where I hid what was happening to me from my loved ones, from my friends, from my coworkers. No one really knew that I was going through this experience. I even hid it from my husband for a really long time because I didn't want to be deemed as crazy or a cuckoo bird. And I see this often with people who want to be light workers. Like they feel that pull and that call, but they don't take those initial steps, or they don't speak forth because they're afraid of the judgments and of being deemed like a crazy person. And it's unfortunate that we exist in a society where people who are having these profound experiences that are real to them are just looked at as crazy. And, you know, I do think that maybe in some sense it exists on a sliding scale. I do know that spiritual psychosis is a thing that can happen. But I don't necessarily think that's something that we need to fear. I think if we want to be authentic and true to ourselves, that we should share what we're going through. And we should put the information out there, the wisdom that we're discovering, and share that with the masses, you know? And I wish more of us could get to a place where we felt safe and confident to do that. The unfortunate thing is that many of us don't. So again, reiterating what Ali said, we did create a community to be a space for us to do that.
Absolutely did. And it is launched on Patreon. We're currently the Higher Vibe Tribe. And when we get members, we're open to changing the name because we want this to be your community as much as it is ours. And that's really the ultimate goal, is just to create a very safe space for people to be able to be expressive and not be judged. And that's really what we are aiming for. And that's what will be, because we have a very serious zero tolerance of like bullying and being judgmental. But I have met people who I talk about this community and they were just like, oh my God, like, thank you for putting that together. And let me know when you guys launch, because I have wisdom to share, and I have no one to share it with. And I feel so alone in this process. And it's just, it takes being able to share your own experience for people to be able to open up to you, to be like, oh, I feel safe with this person. I can speak freely, and I feel the same way too. And the more that I've come across these people, the more I'm just like, this community is needed. And so to any of our listeners, if you are feeling this way, then Tiara and I are here for you. Come find us on Patreon.
Yes, the Patreon, I think you can actually, it is accessible through our website, which is www.goddessvibrationstudio.com. But I think you can type into the URL patreon.com/vibehigh, and it should pop up that way too. The easiest way is just to go to our website, and there's a huge button there that'll take you directly to the Patreon. And I'm actually getting ready to go to this event. I'm going to go to a goddess festival, which actually looks freaking fantastic. I'm here in California for the time being, and I'm just going to pitch this community to like literally everyone. The podcast and the community is getting pitched to everyone. So I'm hoping that, you know, I'm open to feedback, but I'm hoping that, you know, some people will really connect to that and decide to at least check it out, because it's going to be a safe space, but it's going to be a place where we can all just be ourselves and share our wisdom with each other and lift each other up. And I'm so excited to launch that and to be a part of that, because, you know, it's so heavily needed, and it really upsets me that so many people feel alone in this journey. Like, we don't have to feel alone in this journey. We don't have to be alone in this journey. So please do check it out. Again, you can access our community through our websites. We're going to have a lot of fun, you guys.
We absolutely are. And I just want to give a shout out to our global listeners. I was like looking at our statistics, and I noticed like we have listeners in France and Germany, America, Canada, Australia. And I'm just like, I just want to give a shout out and just say thank you here in like Colombia as well. And I just want to say thank you so much. It means the world to us that our podcast has gotten worldly reach. And I don't think I've ever given you guys a shout out before. So I just want to give a very special thanks to, you know, all our international listeners. And don't be shy. We want you in the community too. Just go to our website. And we hope that you guys extracted something really valuable in this, because it's a topic that needs to be talked about, and it's also just from a very honest and authentic space, which is why TR and I always thrive what we strive for. And like, the only reason why we really get to do this is because of our listeners, so thank you guys so much.
I absolutely love that we have such a global listening base. I think that that is the coolest thing ever. And I want to extend my thank you to you guys as well. Me and Allie are sort of doing double duty. So I'm here in the United States trying to push out the podcast, and she's in South America trying to push it out over there. So again, we are doing a pretty extensive push here to reach as many people as we can who resonate with this message. So that we're seeing a little bit of the results of that is huge. So again, thank you guys so, so much. And, you know, we're both here for you guys, and, you know, we want to be a resource for you guys. So please do check out our website, check out the community, and we will continue to, you know, be a support for you guys who are navigating this spiritual landscape, because sometimes we need a lift when it comes to that. And we want to provide a space where you can get that.
Absolutely. So I just want to say thank you guys again, and we will catch you next week.
Okay, take care, you guys.